Hello and welcome back to California Dreaming. Today I have a story that's a little bit of a departure from the lengthy multi-part episodes that we've been putting out there for you lately. It's a story that many of you have probably heard about. This happened about, I want to say maybe 7 or 8 years ago or so. And I just got reminded of it recently. I mentioned it on Facebook in a post. I kind of hinted at it. And because there is a bit of a criminal backstory from the early 2000s, and the story seemed to cross over state lines here in the Southwest between California, Arizona, and Nevada, I figured it was something that was worth telling on our show. Not a heavy story, but it's definitely a lot of drama. So let's dive right in. Almost 20 years ago, all the way back on August 16th, 2001, a woman named Amanda Patricia Bossingham committed somewhat of a serious crime. It was a felony. So, I mean, considering we're usually discussing murders and things like that on this show, it's not nearly as serious, but still it got her into some trouble. So Amanda, she applied for a line of credit with M&I Bank, and that's Marshall and Isley Corporation, which is a bank and diversified financial services corporation that eventually was purchased by the Bank of Montreal in 2010. So Amanda had opened a line of credit with this bank in the amount of $15,000, but she did so using the social security number of another person. For one reason or another, Amanda's case, it dragged on for a number of years, and this was going to go into federal court because of the nature of the crime. So when I looked at the timeline of the various motions and the rulings related to her case, there were just so many of them that were looking for extensions and postponements and permissions to travel to California or to travel to Nevada or Colorado. And it appears that the crime itself actually took place in Arizona. So Amanda had pleaded not guilty for a while. But then finally, on November 6, 2003, she did enter a plea agreement with the government where she would plead guilty to one count of misusing a social security number. And then on June 15, 2004, the federal court sentenced Amanda to 14 months in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release. And she was ordered to pay restitution in the amount of $36,294.95. So the rest of the court documents and the timeline said that on August 12, 2004, the court had granted Ms. Bossingham her motion for release pending appeal and ordered that her self-surrender date be stayed until the appeal was concluded. I'm not really sure why she was appealing since she pleaded guilty, but whatever. It just seems like something that just got mixed up or fell through the cracks in the court system. But anyway, following an order by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals dismissing her appeal, the court set a new self-surrender date of July 7th, 2008. So this is almost 7 years after she had applied for and got that fraudulent loan, right? It's been a long time. So the document continued, and it had been almost 7 years since she committed the offense and 4 years since she was sentenced. She had been out of custody and monitored by pretrial services since the date of her arrest, which was October 11th, 2002, a little bit more than a year after she had applied for that loan. Since Amanda, and the court documents call her Ms. Bossingham, so I'm just going to call her that. So since she was sentenced by the court approximately 4 years earlier, Ms. Bossingham had drastically turned her life around. This is some court filings from her attorney. At the time of her offense, Ms. Bossingham's mother had just passed away. Her marriage had just failed. Her small business went under as a result of her divorce. However, during her criminal case and following her sentence, she removed herself from the environment that she was in when she committed the offense and severed all ties with individuals that influenced her life and actions in a negative way. Toward the end of her criminal case, Ms. Bossingham met a man by the name of Salomon Buzaglo, who is now her husband of 5 years. With her husband's overwhelming support, Ms. Bossingham has made drastic changes in her life and formed new positive relationships. They opened a restaurant and spent most of their time working at their restaurant, as their presence is necessary for its continued operation. Ms. Bossingham is solely responsible for creating the entire menu, cooking, baking, training their staff, ordering, managing the catering business, and completing daily operational duties necessary for the business. They have hosted several charitable events at their restaurant, and it is used as a tool to help raise money for nonprofit organizations. Ms. Bossingham donates her time and money to various organizations such as the St. Nicholas Youth Organization and the Fraternal Order of the Police. She is also very involved in the state's Republican Party platform and volunteered numerous hours of her time during the 2006 elections. In 2005, she was one of 250 people appointed to the Republican Presidential Task Force. Perhaps the best person to comment on Ms. Bossingham's conduct since her offense and sentencing is her pretrial services officer, Greg Celia, who has been monitoring her for more than 3 years. According to Mr. Celia, Ms. Bossingham is in full compliance with all conditions of pretrial release, including full-time employment, random urinalysis, regular reporting and house visits. She also continues to make regular payments towards restitution. Mr. Celia stated that she is one of the strongest people on his current caseload and has no worries about her being involved in criminal activity in the future. Mr. Celia further comments on the change that he has observed in Ms. Bossingham since her sentencing and believes if anyone is deserving of a reduced sentence, it is her. Additionally, shortly after she was sentenced in the case, Ms. Bossingham was placed on 4 years probation by the 4th Judicial District for Colorado Springs for the similar offenses of theft and forgery. So, Dreamers, what it sounds like is that she has some prior convictions going on in the background. So anyway, her court documents continued. Ms. Bossingham's probation term was monitored by Pinal County here in Arizona on a courtesy basis until it was recently successfully terminated on June 4th, 2008. According to her probation officer, James Pfeiffer, she has been in total compliance with all of her probationary terms. It is Mr. Pfeiffer's opinion that justice would be better served if Ms. Bossingham is able to serve her sentence out of custody. As stated by Mr. Celia, if there was anyone deserving of a reduction or modification of sentence, it is Ms. Bossingham. Her conduct since her offense exemplifies the concepts of rehabilitation and reform. She is a perfect example of why prison is not appropriate in all cases and why the federal sentencing guidelines are now advisory and sentencing judges have more discretion in imposing an appropriate sentence. Okay, so from there, Dreamers, the documents cited some court cases, which I'm not going to go over, but what I'm gathering that is happening here is Amanda has not served the 14 months that she was sentenced to all those years ago with all the court motions and the delays. She did waive her right to appeal, but somehow an appeal was made, but then it was dismissed. I don't know exactly how all of that played out, but basically after all the time that has passed, for whatever reason, for her case to have gotten shuffled around for 7 years, she wants to be resentenced in order to not have to go to federal prison. The remainder of the document says that it is unlikely that this court will be able to modify her sentence, but, you know, they're going to try anyway. Similarly, counsel acknowledges that this does not apply to this case. However, the extraordinary circumstances surrounding Ms. Bossingham's case is nevertheless being presented to this court with the hope that there is some way that her sentence can be modified to allow her to serve some or all of her time out of custody. Such a result would be consistent with the basic principles of equity and fairness. It would also allow Ms. Bossingham to continue to make restitution payments on a regular basis. At the very least, the information concerning her conduct since her sentencing in 2004 is presented to demonstrate to this court and all parties involved that a criminal defendant such as Ms. Bossingham can be rehabilitated without spending time in a federal prison. In fact, in this instance, serving time in a federal prison will undoubtedly prove to be counterproductive and will undermine all of the progress that she has made in her life over the last 8 years. As previously discussed, Ms. Bossingham currently owns a business with her husband, for which she is primarily responsible and has been out of custody since her arrest on October 11, 2002, and only recently learned of the current self-surrender after this court entered the order on June 6, 2008. Consequently, Ms. Bossingham has not had enough time to make all the financial and business arrangements necessary to ensure her restaurant will continue to operate in her absence. Even then, its sustainability without her presence is questionable. She also needs to make arrangements relating to her personal finances, such as bank accounts, loans, credit cards, etc. Moreover, Ms. Bossingham has not yet been designated to a Federal Bureau of Prisons facility, which would allow her to self-surrender to the facility directly rather than to the U.S. Marshal's Office. As this court is likely aware, surrendering to the U.S. Marshal's Office usually requires transportation to the Central Arizona Detention Center in Florence, Arizona, eventually followed by transportation to the designated facility. Lastly, undersigned counsel contacted the attorney for the government, who has stated he has no objection to a 90-day extension of the current self-surrender date. And the motion finished up with this. Given the foregoing extraordinary circumstances surrounding Ms. Bossingham's sentence and conduct while on release, she respectfully requests to this court to modify her sentence to enable her to serve some or all of her 14-month prison sentence out of custody. If that is not possible, Ms. Bossingham respectfully requests this court to extend her current self-surrender date of July 7th, 2008 for approximately 90 days. Ms. Bossingham further respectfully requests this court to issue an expedited ruling in this matter in light of the current self-surrender date of July 7th, 2008. And this motion was submitted on June 7th, 2008. So she has had only less than 2 weeks to try to get her sentence modified for a crime she committed almost 7 years earlier. Well, her motion was denied and her self-surrender date of October 7th, 2008 at noon was affirmed and she served her time. I don't know exactly how long she was in, but it was probably pretty close to the 14 months that she was sentenced to. That's what usually happens when somebody goes to federal prison. So we can assume that Amanda Bossingham was released sometime in late 2009. Okay, so I tried not to give too much of this story away until I got Amanda's Social Security fraud conviction story told first. It was kind of weird how it dragged on for so long and she ended up finally finishing up her sentence for her time more than 9 years after the crime happened. Well, Amanda did get out and she was able to come back to her business that she opened with her husband. And it seemed like that while she was in prison, the restaurant survived. Maybe her husband was able to get some employees and he managed to keep it afloat until her release. But Amanda got out of prison and was fortunate to come back to her husband, to come back to her business. She came back to 3 cats. Her life was basically intact when she got out. And for the most part, as far as we know, she was able to pick right back up without skipping a beat. But I want to ask you guys, is any of this story sounding familiar to you at all? Maybe it's on the tip of your brain, like, where have I heard this before? I know this story. I haven't given you hardly any details at all. But if it does sound familiar, it's because Amanda did get out of federal prison and she was able to get right back into the swing of things, you know, where she left off when she went in. But she did emerge with a brand new name and she seemingly managed to reinvent herself for the most part. Because about 3.5 years after she was released, and we all, and by we all, I mean all of us on the internet, we were introduced to one of the most unbelievable pair of restaurant owners ever featured on Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay in 2013. Is any of this ringing any bells yet? I love watching Kitchen Nightmares. I love Gordon Ramsay. He is so funny. Either you've seen it or you haven't. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you've seen clips of it on Facebook Watch or on YouTube or something. But this couple, they're literally made for one of probably the most memorable episodes of Kitchen Nightmare ever. If you know who I'm talking about, then you know Amanda Bossingham changed her name to Amy Buzzaglo. She had been married to Sammy Buzzaglo, this weird little old guy from Israel. And together they owned and operated Amy's Baking Company and Bistro located in the city of Scottsdale, Arizona. So it had been a while since I'd first seen that episode, but I recently rewatched it. And for the first time, I watched the premiere episode of the next season where Gordon did a whole update on them. And it was as equally as bizarre as the first time they were on. So I'm going to give you a recap of what happened in their episodes. And if you've seen it, this is going to be a refresher, though it's pretty memorable. And if you haven't seen it, then I don't even know if I can really do it justice here. I'll do my best to give you as much of a synopsis as I can. And at the same time, I'm going to try to get across to you how absolutely unhinged these two people are. And we're going to have lots of different adjectives to describe Amy and Sammy. But the one that always comes to my mind first is just batshit crazy. And that sums it up pretty nicely. And speaking of, I want to give you a fair warning because this did come from Gordon Ramsay's show. There is going to be a lot of profanity. I'm just not going to worry about bleeping it all out. I'll give you guys a warning in the beginning of the show notes when this episode publishes. So even before Amy and Sammy reached out to Gordon and submitted a video as to why they wanted his help, they were having some serious problems with their business. But in their submission video, they didn't really exactly explain it completely as to what the problem was. And it wasn't until Gordon did the update episode did they show us that initial video that they sent in. And at first, it has Amy talking about their problems being more about her husband not having any customer service experience and not knowing how to operate the front of house. And then she kind of eases into what their real problems are. Okay, so in the video that they sent in to try to get on Kitchen Nightmares, Amy says, check it out. So this is where all the magic happens. Here we have the walk-in. Oh my God, it's such a mess. The big problem with this restaurant would be that my husband is too nervous in the front of the house. He doesn't really have customer service background in any way, shape, or form. And then Sammy says, I'm like a chicken with no head. I go and I go and I don't know where to start. And then Amy says, Sammy needs to be removed from this situation. A lot of times I think that customers will probably not come back because of something that Sammy may have said to them. Like the first reaction is to just kind of yell. And that's an understatement. Yes, there have been a few occasional times that he has had an incident. That I myself have had a few incidents with customers. We are not perfect, but when people come in and they're not nice to us, we are not going to be nice to them back. On Yelp, horrible things were being written about us that were not true. I retaliated and I told him what I thought about him. And I told him that he was a loser and that he was a moron and that he was an asshole and that he was not welcome back in my restaurant and he's not. And I have no problem standing up for myself. So dreamers, you're going to find that all of that, and I mean every single word that Amy said in her submission video, all of it is true, but she really like downplayed it. Because remember, this is even before they were on Kitchen Nightmares. They were already fighting back people on the internet that were trashing them and their restaurant on Yelp and on Facebook. And I think Reddit would come along too, but that might have been after their show had hit the air. But even before the world actually got to see these two nut jobs on the show, they were being attacked on social media for the way that they were not only treating their customers, but also their employees. And we are going to talk about both. So they were picked up for an episode of Gordon's show, and they were featured as the finale episode of season 6. It aired on May 10th, 2013. And if they thought that they had problems with internet trolls before the show, they were really in for it now. But at first, you know, the episode kind of starts off better than most episodes of Kitchen Nightmares usually does. So Amy and Sammy's place was called Amy's Baking Company and Bistro. It had a really nice decor. Gordon loved it. She had a really beautiful dessert case right in front that prominently displayed what Amy said were all of her own creations that she baked herself. It turns out that none of that was true at all, because not too long after their episode of Kitchen Nightmares aired, they were being bombarded from all directions on social media until finally one of them, and it was probably Amy, she just spiraled into a caps locked meltdown, posting several times on Facebook, "I'm not stupid. All of you are. You just don't know what good food is. It is not uncommon to resell things. Walmart does not make their own electronics or toys, so lay off. We do not need this. You stupid people. America is about reselling. It's not a big deal. The cakes we offer are expensive because we have to repackage and ship. Do not blame us because you cannot afford quality. The Yelpers and now the Redditors need to back off. You are not right just because of some TV show. We are not freaking out. We don't care about a witch hunt. I am not a witch. I am God's child. Piss off, all of you. Fuck Reddit. Fuck Yelp. Fuck all of you. Bring it. We'll fight right back." Eventually, they just started issuing threats on their Facebook page. And this post came from Sammy. It said, "To all the Yelpers and Reddits, bring it on. You are all pussies. Come to Arizona. You are weaker than my wife. You are weaker than me. Come to my business. Say it to my face. Man to man. My wife is a jewel in the desert. You are just trash. Reddits and Yelpers are just working together to bring us down. Pathetic. This is Sammy. I am keeping note of all of your names here. We will be pursuing action against you legally and against Reddit and Yelp for this plot you have come together on. You are all just punks." So, after Gordon complimented Amy on her bakery items, which she said she made, but she didn't, he wanted to have a look at their kitchen. And usually when these restaurants are featured on the show, the kitchen is like a huge mess. It's part of the problems that they're having, along with terrible food, unenthusiastic staff, outdated or drab decor. It's always everything that Gordon comes in and fixes, right? But this place was decent and it was clean. The walk-in freezer was all organized. The food was all fresh. The containers were labeled and dated. It was impressive. But they also tried to prepare as best they could. That was brought up in the update episode. But still, I think all of the restaurants should have done that. If they knew that Gordon was coming, you think that they would try to clean the place up a little bit, at least a little. So, and I always wondered why the restaurants didn't do that in advance. Maybe they were just trying to leave everything as is so they could take care of it and film everything and make the show more dramatic, you know, and stuff like that. But whatever. I have no idea how these kind of shows work. I hear a lot of it's a setup, but I have read several articles, and this whole thing with Amy and Sammy, all of it was just straight up legit. This is how things went down. So Amy and Sammy were ready for Gordon's visit. And because knowing what we know ends up happening in the end, they had an agenda. As I said in the beginning, Amy and Sammy were already in an all-out war with the internet. At this juncture, I hesitate to call them trolls and haters because, in my opinion, they went online to do what they could to make sure the public was made aware of the kind of people that Amy and Sammy were. They were trying to let the community know that these people were operating a business, but running it with a very abusive and toxic environment for both their employees and their customers. And I'll get into more of that a little bit later. But what they were experiencing online was the backlash that they had received for the manner in which they had treated their customers. It is everything a business owner would absolutely never do if they wanted to succeed in their community. All of that ends up coming out as Gordon's episode progresses, as well as into the update episode. But in the beginning, her restaurant, their restaurant, is deceivingly nice and normal. But because of the online war that had been waged against their restaurant and Amy and Sammy, they had this brilliant idea that if they could get Gordon Ramsay to feature their restaurant on their show, and if they could get him to give their place his seal of approval, that it would somehow legitimize them, and they could use that as a weapon against everyone online that was saying that their restaurant and their bakery and their food and their attitude were all crap. They could combat all the negative comments and one-star reviews by showing the world that Gordon Ramsay loved everything about their restaurant and their bakery, so they could take all of their comments and just shove it. That's why they wanted to get on Kitchen Nightmares, but things didn't exactly go as planned. So Gordon sat down, and as he talked with the owners, he tried one of their cakes, and I use the word "their" loosely because we all know now that it wasn't their cakes. He said that the cake was really good. Gordon liked it a lot. And as he was eating, Sammy and Amy began telling him about their online problems. He finds out that Amy is not only the baker, but she is also the head chef. And Gordon tells Sammy that he's really lucky that she is able to do all of these things. And Amy explains to Gordon at this point that she's the lucky one. And it's fairly obvious that Sammy is much older than Amy, and apparently he's flush with money. We know Amy, back when she was Miss Bossingham, that she had some very serious personal and financial issues going on in her life. But on the surface, if she kept her mouth shut and stopped moving or doing anything, she could pass as a relatively attractive woman, and she could be seen as kind of a trophy wife type of person. But she found Sammy, and in order to make her happy, he bought her a restaurant for her to play in. And yeah, they just kind of serve a purpose for one another, but that's my takeaway anyway. So Amy goes on to explain that she and Sammy, they are together in this restaurant thing. They are both there all the time, that they are each other's strength. And then she goes into how they've been made to stand up against online bullies and internet bloggers who have been trying to destroy them online, and that they feel like they're the only restaurant owners who have ever had the courage to fight the bullies and the bloggers to defend their restaurant. Amy says that they go online and say things about their food that are completely untrue because they have no idea what good food tastes like. And if you watch this episode, and it's on YouTube, you could see that Gordon is just looking like, what the hell is this woman talking about? Because all this stuff is spewing out of her mouth at such a rapid fire pace. So he tells her that they'll get to that, but he wants to go and see the kitchen because he's there because he thinks something's wrong with the restaurant. They're having problems and they need his help. So they go in there and it's immaculate. Like I said, that is not the problem here with Amy and Sammy. The place is like this, it's because they micromanage to the extreme. It's like it's more than micromanaging. It's like hypermanaging. Is that even a word? Can I combine them? Hyper micromanage? That's Amy and Sammy. And it just sucks. It sucks all around. And as we go along here, you can see why. Amy and Sammy run this business with complete control over everything. It's tyrannical how they operated. And they actually don't even open the restaurant unless they are both there. So Gordon looks at the walk-in and he's like, is this some kind of joke? The floor is as smooth and as clean as a basketball court. A doctor could perform surgery in the walk-in freezer. It's super impressive. But you just come to find out that it is really a product of a extremely toxic work environment with a couple of very toxic individuals. It is so perfectly organized and clean, and it's so much so that it's almost unnatural for the business. It kind of feels off-putting. But anyway, Gordon doesn't really seem to know that just yet. He might have some idea, but he's trying to be open-minded. But he's impressed and he's taking it all in. And Amy and Sammy are really wanting this visit to go their way so they can shut down the bullies and the bloggers by getting a good review from Gordon Ramsay. So Gordon gets introduced to the sous chef, and her name is Christine, and two of their employees. There's Katie, who is a food runner, and Miranda, who is a server. And we're going to want to keep Katie and Miranda in mind. They are going to come up periodically as all of this begins to unfold and unravel. At this point, Katie gives us the first hint that there is something not right with Sammy and Amy. She says the restaurant is nice, but the owners are what the problem is, and to not judge a book by its cover, meaning don't be fooled by Amy's cute, sweet, bubbly blonde exterior. So finally, Gordon and the owners, they sit down in the dining area to talk. And Gordon asked Amy how long they've been married, and she said that it's been almost 10 years. And that they got married 5 months after they met, explaining that God sent him to her and she wasn't going to waste any more of her time. Then she oddly explains that prior to getting married to her, he was kind of like Hugh Hefner, a playboy type, and he always surrounded himself with lots of beautiful women. But once he got with her, all of that nonsense stopped and she had to be the only one or it'd be nothing. It was a weird thing to be telling Gordon and Sammy. I mean, okay, like whatever. Maybe he was like this playboy, like maybe 40 or 50 years earlier. But to me, he really needed to dial it down a little bit. It was like too much, but whatever. It soon becomes clear that Amy is the boss of this entire operation and Sammy is just really afraid of anyone telling Amy anything that might even slightly offend her or her cooking or her restaurant. In fact, he does everything that he can to keep her completely in the dark about anything that's going on around them. All he wants her to do is cook and bake and look pretty and be happy. It's absolutely stupid. So then Gordon asks Sammy if he has trained in working in the restaurant industry, and he's like, no. He described himself as a property developer. But then he said the housing crisis led him to decide to invest some of his money in a restaurant for Amy. But from my understanding of the timeline, they got the restaurant some years before the housing crisis of 2008, but whatever. He got this restaurant for Amy. He said she begged me and it was her dream to open a restaurant, and Amy tells Gordon that her entire life she's had a passion for cooking and baking, that she had this God-given talent, as she called it, and this is all she ever wanted to do. And she's telling him this, and he's sitting there eating a piece of cake that she said she baked, and he is really enjoying it, but it is not her cake. And I'm going to remind everyone every time that this comes up that she did not bake that cake, because it really sucks that she would pass off cakes that she bought from other bakeries. She cut them into slices and put them on display in her bakery case and claimed them as her own. It's like food plagiarism, and I don't like it. So she goes and she tells Gordon that she is the only one who makes the cake. She is the only one who does the cooking. And if they are both not there, they do not open for business. And Gordon is pretty surprised by this revelation and tells them that that is no way to run a business. And they explain that they cannot find qualified people to work there. They said they've tried. And they're located in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa, Glendale, Gilbert, and Chandler adjacent. It's a very populated area. And Gordon is like, you can't find anyone. And they tell him they've tried and tried so many employees that they just haven't been able to find anyone that they can trust that really wants to work beyond just coming here for a paycheck and then going home. They said that people are dirty and they're lazy and they just don't trust anybody. So if they are both not there, they don't open. Gordon asked how many employees that they had had, and they tell him they've had several hundred. And that's a crazy turnover. And we'll come to see why they can't find trustworthy people to work there or anybody willing to stay working there with them for any lengthy amount of time. So then Gordon asked them, other than the staff, what's wrong with this bloody restaurant? And Amy goes back to the problems that she has with customers. That she has issues with customers that are trying to be online bullies that say horrible things about her and her restaurant. And Gordon is still looking confused, but she carries on. They say things that are not true. They say that she uses store-bought dough, she's meaning for her pizza, that she uses frozen ingredients, and all of it is not true. Now, that may be the case, and I don't know, because it really doesn't matter, because that actually isn't their problem. And the fact is that they actually don't use all fresh ingredients. There are some frozen things that she does have, but I'll get into that later. Gordon asked how all of this started with the online bullies, and Amy explained that it started with this guy that came in, and Sammy said it was about 2.5 years ago, and Amy said that he came in and he ordered a pizza margarita. He got his pizza, and when Sammy asked him how his pizza was, he complained that the pizza was not fresh, but it was frozen. And then the following day, this guy went online and posted all these negative reviews. And then Amy said she got online and she wrote back to him. And Gordon, he was like, oh, he rolled his eyes. And he's like, you retaliated online. And Amy was like, yeah, I told him he was a loser and he was a moron. And Gordon was like, you went online and insulted him. And Amy replied, he insulted me first and I attacked back. And Gordon, he just cannot believe what he is hearing. Like, this is so childish, right? And she said, I'm not going to let anybody bully me or bully my husband, because that's a joke, right? And what she meant by that is that Sammy seems to think that he's some sort of old-time gangster or something. And it's really weird that they're trying to present him as this tough guy, that he should be striking fear into everyone that's around him, that if you're near him, then you need to be afraid of him. And I'm just kind of not getting that vibe. He's an old man running a bakery, being bossed around by his wife. But anyway, Gordon explains to Amy that if she's going to be in the restaurant business, she's going to need to have a thick skin. And it is in this part of the episode of Kitchen Nightmares where you really get a glimpse into how crazy Amy looks, because she gets this crazed look in her eyes when she begins to get really defensive. And I mean, honestly, if you've seen this, then you know what I'm talking about. This woman has crazy eyes. I'll try to get some screenshots when this episode goes up after we have a chance to talk about it. I think Gordon even pointed out towards the end what, I mean, he's like, look at your eyes. And then she tells Gordon that they've called her Crazy Amy because of the way she stands up to the bullies online. But I think they call her Crazy Amy because she is legit Crazy Amy. Now, all of this is coming in as a surprise to Gordon, but let me back up to towards the beginning of the episode. So the crew had been there to set up for filming Kitchen Nightmares the day before. So they put up their cameras and they get ready the day before Gordon gets there. So they have their cameras installed and they're filming and they're doing their thing. But they apparently also picked up some footage of things going on, you know, prior to the day before Gordon arrives, and it's pretty ugly. And there's this opening montage of Amy and Sammy just being loud, and they're shouting, they're combative, there's foul language. I mean, it's terrible. And I don't know if Gordon knew exactly what was going on ahead of time, because when he got there the next day, it seemed like he was kind of going in there with a clean slate, like he wanted to see everything for himself and form his own opinions. So after the opening of this episode and they have that crazy montage, we get the part of the episode that was filmed the day before. And we find out that their server, Miranda, she's the only server that works there, but she's not allowed to input orders into the computer. She's not allowed to pour wine, and she's not allowed to handle money. All she does is she takes the customer's orders, and she is allowed to bring food to the table, and she is allowed to pour water. That's it. When she takes an order, she writes it down, and then she goes over to Sammy and tells him what the order is, and he inputs it into the computer. He is the only one allowed to touch the computer. And so this gives Sammy the impression that he's running the entire front of house on his own. And the reality is that he causes more problems because he makes a lot of mistakes, and he's left things off of orders. People have had to wait a long time for their food. He has no idea how to run the front end of a restaurant. And all Miranda can do is just keep coming to him with more and more things that she needs to have him do, because she isn't allowed to do any of it for herself. At one point, they had more than 20 orders that needed to be prepared for the customers inside the restaurant. But Amy, she's the chef, and she's the only one capable of making the dishes, and she makes them one at a time. So it's tedious. The customers are made to wait a really long time, usually for more than an hour, if they're even moderately busy. But nobody is allowed to cook anything. Just it all has to be done by Amy. So both the front and the back move at a glacial pace. So then you see this guy sitting with his friend, and you hear him say, "I've never had to wait this long for one pizza." And then the very first table that got their food from the kitchen, they didn't like the food. And you could see Sammy asking them, "What is the problem with it?" And the guy said that he had a Caesar salad, and you really couldn't hear what he said, but he was like, "I don't know," and he just didn't like it. And he was sort of pushing the lettuce around with his fork. So Sammy takes the salad back and he tells the guy, "If you don't know what's wrong with it, if you come to eat and enjoy, then you should know what you like to eat, sir." And then his female companion was like, "Well, apparently you don't know what you like to eat." And it was pretty funny, but it was all wrong. Sammy took the salad back and asked Amy to make a different salad other than the Caesar salad. And she was like, "Seriously?" And Sammy said, "Don't worry, I tell them to fuck off." And then they cut back to the customer, and you can hear Sammy yelling in the back. And then Amy yells, "Maybe they don't understand good food because it's not coming from a can." So that's her whole thing, that these people, they don't know what quality food is, and it's because they're used to processed and packaged food, and they don't understand what good food tastes like. So in the meantime, more customers are sending food back. One lady complained that the pizza that she was eating was floppy and doughy, and in other words, it was undercooked. So Sammy brings that pizza back and tells Amy that the pizza isn't cooked enough and to put it back in the oven, and she's like, "Sure, whatever, I'll burn it for them." And then she continues to complain, "The food we are making is going straight into the trash, and there are people that are starving that could be eating it, but instead these people decide that they're going to come and fuck with my life." Then another customer comes up to the register complaining that they've been waiting for their dinner for like an hour and a half. And while Sammy is trying to deal with her, it cuts back to Amy yelling, "You guys are full of shit." And then Sammy comes to the back of the kitchen and tells Amy to never mind the pepper ravioli. The customers are leaving. And Amy yells that it's ready. And Sammy just yells, "Just stop the ravioli. They're leaving. They don't care. So then the guy who a moment ago who said that he had never waited that long for a pizza finally comes up to the register and tells Sammy that they're still waiting on the pizza. And Sammy tells him, "It's coming now, it's coming." And the customer is like, "You keep saying that. You've been saying that for an hour." And then Amy is in the back and she can hear all of this, and she starts mocking the customer. She's like, "Look at him. He's like, where's my pizza?" And the customer can hear her and he's like, "Really?" And then Amy yells, "Send him home." And then Sammy starts getting verbally aggressive and tells the guy, "I told you the pizza is coming. If you want to wait, you wait. If you don't want to wait, then you pay for what you had and then fuck off. You understand?" And the guy is just standing there, and Sammy then begins screaming at the top of his lungs, "You understand, motherfucker? You fuck you. Get out, you fucker. Just get out." And the guy's like, "Are you kidding me right now?" And Amy is in the mix now, and she starts yelling, and then Sammy starts screaming in between F-bombs, and he's telling the guy to pay and then to leave. And the guy's like, "Pay for what? I didn't even have anything." And so he goes back over to the table to get his friend, and they're trying to leave. And they're like, "Is this guy for real?" And then Sammy, he cuts them off. He stops them from leaving. He blocks them from the door. And he's still screaming and dropping F-bombs and telling them that they need to pay. He's in their face. And then Amy starts yelling that she's going to call police. And Sammy clearly does not want her to do that because he's the aggressor. And Sammy did shove the customer. And the guy told him, yo, don't touch me. Don't put your hands on me. And Sammy is still trying to force money out of these guys. Like, there's no way that's going to happen. Their pizza is still in the oven. They never got it. And Amy's screaming that she's still going to call the police. But it's Sammy who's afraid of the police showing up because he knows he's probably going to be the one hauled away in handcuffs. So anyway, this confrontation spills out the front door and Amy starts calling them pieces of shit to get out of there. They're a couple of pansies. You guys are weenies. Just keep walking. Just keep going. Get out of here. And then Sammy tops it off with one more fuck you. Amy walked back into the restaurant and she could see that the whole restaurant is just full of stunned customers staring at her. And she quickly says to them, look, I make excellent food. And then they start giggling and smirking and laughing at her. And then she proceeds to call them all motherfuckers and that they all come in here and say all these things to her, that it's ridiculous. She's never seen anything like this before. And she storms off back into the kitchen. And so it's like, wow, unlike anything you'd ever imagine seeing from somebody trying to run a restaurant. And we can already probably start to tell that this might be the kind of kitchen nightmare that Gordon Ramsay just is not going to be able to fix. So anyway, back to the conversation that Amy and Sammy were having with Gordon about their problems with their restaurant, is that Amy finally tells him that she needs Gordon's help because he is respected in the restaurant industry and she wants the public to hear it from Gordon Ramsay himself and to believe him when he says that Amy's bakery and bistro has good food, and she wants Gordon Ramsay's seal of approval on her restaurant. And he tells her, look, if your food is as good as this cake is that he just ate that she didn't bake, then there's something else going on that's very wrong. Then Gordon astutely calls both of them control freaks, and they agree wholeheartedly that they are, and they seem proud of it. Then Gordon asks them if they have kids, and this is where the world gets another glimpse into crazy Amy's head when she tells Gordon that they have three boys trapped in cats' bodies. And then she goes on to explain how she speaks to her cats and how they speak back to her, and she meows, and it's just cringe for days. And she does get raked over the coals on the internet for this display of absurdity too. Gordon sees it also, and he tells them that meeting you for the first time, you both are fucking nuts. So Gordon then sits down to order lunch. Miranda is his server. So, you know, he talks to her for a little bit, and he asks her how long she's been there, and she says about a month and a half. He asks her if she makes good tips, and she tells him that she doesn't make tips. And he looks at her completely dumbfounded and asks her to say that again. And she said she makes hourly. He was like, are you serious? You must be the only server in the entire country that doesn't get tipped out. And she was like, I know. And he asked, well, where do the tips go? And she tells him the owner takes them. And Gordon just can't believe it. And neither could the internet dreamers. Under federal law in this country, neither managers nor owners may take any portion of their employees' tips at all. It's against the law. And Gordon can't believe that they're doing it. And Miranda was like, I know, I've tried to explain it to them. And she just kind of shrugged her shoulders. So Gordon motions for Sammy to come over and he says to him, you know, we talked earlier about the problems that you've been having finding good staff, but I just found out something pretty serious that Miranda, the young girl, you don't give her tips. And Sammy goes, no. And Gordon tells him, you cannot take the server's tips. And so Sammy starts defending himself and justifying his actions by telling Gordon that when he finds people that are going to do the job right and that he doesn't have to do it all by himself and he doesn't have to interfere, then they could take all the tips for themselves. And he tells Gordon that even just right now, he's already taken three orders and sent them back to be prepared. And Gordon tells him, you're the owner. You can't do that. And Sammy continued to defend himself. I do most of the job. I get the tips. And Gordon was like, wow, okay. So later on, and I think this was shown in the update episode as some unseen footage, Gordon had a conversation in the kitchen with Amy about tipping, and he asked her, how do you attract good staff when you don't give them the tips that they deserve? And Amy answers, my husband pays those girls $9 or $10 an hour to do nothing. They don't deserve those tips. If they could work like my husband works. And Gordon was like, oh my God. And Amy raised her voice even more. If those girls could work like my husband works and didn't have to require him to run like four people, they would get their tips. And Gordon was like, why are you shouting? And she just kept carrying on. If they could run like I run and work like I work, they could have those tips. And Gordon was like, you're deluded. And she goes, yeah, I'm deluded. You're right. So anyway, Sammy goes back to Gordon and he takes his lunch order. He ordered a fig and pear prosciutto pizza, a medium rare blue ribbon burger, a salmon burger, and he wanted some gnocchi, but Sammy told him that they didn't have time to make any homemade. They actually did have some packaged gnocchi, but it didn't really come up later until the update episode. Now, I hope I'm saying that right. Gnocchi. It's G-N-O-C-C-H-I. Gnocchi. But later on in the bonus scenes that they showed in the update, Gordon finds the gnocchi on the shelf in the kitchen. And it's in a package and it can stand a shelf and it doesn't have to be kept in the fridge. And so he's thinking that there's tons of preservatives or chemicals or whatever in it. So he takes the package over to Amy and he asks her if these are the gnocchi that they sell. And she goes, yes, those are the gnocchi we serve. And he said, with no refrigeration required, what's in them? And she looks at him. She goes, well, look at the back. It'll tell you. I never said that they were organic. I never did. And Gordon said, I asked what's in there and you said to look on the back like some effing smartass answer. And you serve this and you charge money for that. And Amy started walking away and said, God, whatever. And Gordon was like, don't get upset because I don't kiss your ass. And she said, I'm not upset with you. I don't want you to kiss my ass. I just want you to shut up and give me a chance to finish my sentence instead of being rude. So anyway, they continue to have this back and forth about her not listening to criticism. It's going to be an ongoing theme for this entire episode. So instead of gnocchi, Gordon went ahead and ordered the red pepper ravioli. And Sammy didn't tell him, but the ravioli are also frozen as well. They're not made fresh. And, you know, that's, I think, one of Gordon's things. He doesn't like anything frozen. Amy and Sammy are riding their hopes on Gordon loving their food. I honestly don't think that these two even considered the possibility that Gordon wouldn't like it. They just figured that they'd cook for him, he'd give them rave reviews, and they'd send out into the internet universe and all their problems would be solved. I probably don't have to tell you that Gordon was less than impressed with the food that he was served, except for that first dessert early on. But once again, Amy didn't bake it. Did I mention that Amy didn't bake that cake? Yeah, she did not bake that cake. So Gordon does acknowledge that finding out about the whole tipping thing kind of gives him a little bit of insight as to what's actually going on here at this restaurant. So, Dreamer, since we got to Amy and Sammy's tipping policy, that they get everything and the rest of the employees get nothing, I guess now is a good time as any to go over the things listed in the employee contract, the one that they must sign when they are hired. And if you already think that this restaurant and its owners are batshit crazy, wait until you hear some of the things in this contract. So this wasn't easy to find, and it actually took me a couple of times over 2 days to find it. It was leaked a couple of years ago after the Kitchen Nightmares episode aired, and every link to it in all of the articles that wrote about the contract was broken. But I managed to find the whole contract buried in some Reddit comments because they had an image of the contract posted, but it was kind of blurry, so somebody transcribed it, and so that's still out there, and luckily we got it. So this is what it says. This letter is a mutual agreement between Amy's Baking Company, LLC, for the purpose of a work contract. This is a legal binding contract that both parties are fully aware of and in mutual agreement with the following terms. By signing below, you agree to these terms and rules, including possible monetary penalties. The following rules are necessary at ABC, and by signing this letter, you are hereby agreeing to set forth the terms and conditions. Number 1. No cell phones allowed while working. Number 2. No outside food or beverages may be brought inside ABC. Number 3. If you fail to show up for your scheduled shift, we may penalize you monetarily. Number 4. When you show up for work, you must be dressed appropriately and properly covered. You must be ready to work with your hair pulled back and your hands washed no later than 5 minutes before your scheduled shift begins. Number 5. Any type of attitude will result in immediate termination. Number 6. You must leave the premises immediately after your scheduled shift, and no family or friends may come and see you while you are working. Number 7. You must remain in your designated area. Number 8, no purses or bags are allowed inside ABC. Exceptions may be made. However, upon leaving, a designated employee of ABC has the legal right and consent to inspect any and all packages that you may have brought with you. Number 9, at no point is any food or any type of open beverage allowed in the kitchen. This is a direct health code violation. Number 10, ABC has multiple security cameras, and any type of theft will be punished by the fullest extent of the law. Number 11, no visiting or unnecessary talking is allowed during your work shift. This causes distractions and results in loss of product and may result in possible harm to you or others. Number 12, workers must keep their hair pulled back in a bun, and no facial hair is allowed unless for religious beliefs. Number 13, any products such as food or plates that are broken or burned due to direct negligence will be taken from your paycheck. Number 14, respect and distance must be given to all fellow employees. No harassment or bullying of any type will be tolerated and will be cause for immediate termination. If such an event happens, you must report the incident immediately to Sammy or Amy Buzaglo. Number 15, you must treat the equipment and all property of ABC with respect. Equipment should be cleaned and maintained nightly as a part of your scheduled shift responsibilities. Number 16, holidays and weekends are mandatory. By signing this contract, you are accepting that you will be required to work all holidays and weekends. Due to the nature of our industry, this is a necessity, and any no-show will be monetarily penalized with a fee of $250. Number 17, the recipes and techniques that have been developed by Amy at ABC are exclusive and shall remain confidential. Any removal of recipes will be considered theft. Number 18, you must possess a current Maricopa County food handler's card. Number 19, the waitstaff understands that any and all tips are property of the house. By signing this contract, you agree that you willingly accept a payment of $8 to $12 per hour to ensure that you will receive some type of payment. Due to the volatile nature of any retail business, we are unable to predict when we will have business. By signing this contract, you agree that you are willfully accepting a payment of blank per hour instead of tips. Number 20. It takes a great deal of time and energy and patience on the part of Sammy and Amy to train and teach our employees. We are investing in you as a new employee, and we are paying you to teach you. By signing this contract, you are hereby accepting that you will be employed exclusively by ABC Amy's Baking Company, LLC, and shall not work for any competitor within a 50-mile radius of ABC within 1 year of your termination or voluntary resignation without prior authorization from ABC, nor shall you be allowed to open your own business of the same type within the above mentioned radius. I hereby agree to all the above mentioned terms and conditions. and every employee has to sign this contract. All right. By the way, in the update episode, in some of the bonus footage, when Sam and Amy were giving Gordon a tour of the kitchen, he noticed that there were no men working in the kitchen or serving, and Amy said it's because she doesn't like working in the kitchen around men, so they only hire women to work there. Amy said she doesn't like working that close to men, that she doesn't like bumping into them. And then Sammy kind of interrupts and says that Amy only wants him near her. And I don't think he was joking. I don't think this guy could handle anyone working closely with Amy other than himself. But she kind of agreed with him, but whatever. She said, "We're comfortable working with girls because my kitchen is so tiny. We bend over, we bump into each other, and the male chefs and their egos are too big, and my kitchen is too little, so they leave. I show them the door. They don't meet my standards. They don't work like I do, and they think they're doing me a favor. This is how we work. I work meticulous because my customers deserve it." It was a totally bizarre rant about why they don't have men working there. Okay, so getting back to Gordon's lunch, Amy is so convinced that this restaurant was her divine calling and that Gordon Ramsay is the only one who will be able to validate that for her so the world can just accept it. It is absolute bonkers. So finally, the food runner, Katie, she arrives at Gordon's table with his fig and pear prosciutto pizza, and he takes one bite and at first, he feels like the toppings are too sweet. But more importantly, the pizza crust is still raw. You can see him pushing on it with his finger. He has Sammy come over and he sees that the crust is still too soft and doughy. Sammy attempts to defend his wife's pizzas, telling Gordon that normally customers love their pizza. He doesn't know why it came out like that today. And Gordon was like, "I'm telling you, the pizza I got is raw and soggy and wet, and it's too sweet." And so here's another big problem that they have, is that Sammy doesn't want to tell Amy what Gordon had to say about her pizza. So Katie brought it back and put it on a rack, and Amy asked what was wrong, and Sammy said nothing. And then Katie makes the observation that Sammy hides everything from Amy, so Amy keeps doing her thing, even though customers are complaining, and it's not getting back to her so she can make the necessary changes. Sammy just keeps telling Amy, don't worry, everything's okay. And Amy says, "I'm not worried. She's just afraid that Gordon is going to say something that isn't good." And Sammy just tells her to never mind, just keep cooking. And then Sammy admits to the cameras that Amy can't take criticism, that she will start shaking and that she will just up and leave. So he tells her, "Just do what you do and we'll talk about everything later." So more than an hour passed while Gordon was continuing to wait for the next thing that he had ordered, which was the Blue Ribbon Burger. Sammy came and talked to him and told him that he didn't tell Amy the things that he had said about the pizza. And Gordon was like, "Wait, what? You didn't tell her?" And Sammy said, "I know, my wife, she'll get nervous." And Gordon said, "You're scared to tell her the truth?" And Sammy said, "Do you want to tell her?" And he tells Sammy she has to know so she changes what she does. And he goes ahead and gets back to his food. He tells Sammy he's been waiting for over 75 minutes and he's had nothing but one bit of soggy pizza. So finally, Miranda shows up with his Blue Ribbon Burger. And to me, it looked kind of good for a specialty burger, you know. I'm not a food critic, but I like interesting burgers. So Gordon, he lists off the ingredients. There's blue cheese, marinated mushrooms, garlic aioli, white truffle oil, crispy bacon bits, and a soggy bun full of grease. So most of the top chefs in the world do not cook with truffle oil. They think it's kind of a lazy shortcut to add flavor to a dish. Many of the truffle oils out there are made with artificial ingredients meant to mimic real flavors. So it's not really going to be something that Gordon is going to want to find on his food anyway. But he already feels like there's way too much on this burger to begin with. And he took one bite into it. All this juice came squirting out from the patty and from the mushrooms. And the patty was really thick too. And it was undercooked. There was just too much moisture from the meat and from everything running down into the plate. And he told Miranda it was a shitty burger. It's soggy and messy. And she tossed it out before Amy had a chance to see it. And then she picks up the red pepper ravioli and brings that dish out to Gordon next. Gordon asked her about the salmon burger because he was hungry. He really wanted to try that, and she said she would check on it. So she goes in the back. She tells Amy Gordon wanted to know how long for the salmon burger, and Amy replied, "It's on its way. We know. You don't have to come back here and keep reminding us." So yeah, she's really snotty all the time. And Miranda said, "Okay, I was just saying," and Amy snapped again, "Okay, but you don't need to come back here. We know it needs to go out." So it cuts back to Miranda coming back to Gordon with the salmon burger, and he had been sitting there trying to figure out what was going on with this dish of red pepper ravioli. It looked kind of weird. He said it smelled weird. And when he finally tried it, he said it's the most confused ravioli he's ever seen in his life. And he pushed it aside, and Sammy came to see, and Gordon told him, "This ravioli dish doesn't make any sense. It's sweet and it's spicy. It's topped with bacon. It has corn on it. And all the raviolis themselves, they were frozen." So he didn't like it at all. On to the salmon burger. Gordon, by this time, was really hungry, and he really wanted this burger to be good. But one bite, he said it was way overcooked. The salmon was no good. And he told Miranda that it tasted like dried cat food. So Gordon is going to go back and talk to Amy and break the news to her. But he told her that he was going to wait until later. He said that he did have to wait too long for the food, that there were some bumps that they needed to talk about, but they discuss it after dinner. And Amy can tell that Gordon was going to criticize her, but he's kind of following Sammy's lead here and just letting her continue on with her afternoon and evening before he drops this bomb on her that he didn't like her cooking. And as Gordon left, he handed Miranda a cash tip. And I believe not long after this episode aired, she was fired for that. But anyway, after Gordon stepped out, Amy and Sammy went into the walk-in and started to argue. And she's really worried that Gordon hated her food. Sammy is telling her, "Don't worry, you did good, don't worry." But you know Gordon is going to give it to her straight. So he comes back to see what goes on during dinner service. Amy tells her that all the sous chef does is make the salads. She does all the pizzas, and she tells Gordon that she has been told that she makes the best pizzas that they've ever had in their lives. And Gordon finally slaps her upside the head with the truth. His pizza was raw and undercooked. That he tried to tell Sammy to talk to her about it, but he can't talk to his wife about these things. And Amy immediately begins defending herself. "I don't think your pizza was undercooked. When I took it out of the oven, it was crispy on the bottom. And when I cut it, it was crunchy. So it wasn't undercooked." And Gordon was like, "Well, you didn't see it come back. So you can go ahead and think that." And then he told her that the bun for the beef burger was sopping wet. And who came up with the idea of putting blue cheese, sauteed mushrooms, bacon bits, white truffle oil, and garlic alioli? Whose idea was that? And Amy said it was her creation. And then he slapped her again with the truth and said, "Certain things don't go together. And those are all of them." So they cut away to Amy talking to the camera. And she's so like annoying with her crazy eyes. And she's saying, "Gordon Ramsay is riding my ass about white truffle oil and garlic alioli. Like, oh my God, he's never heard of another flavor profile in the world that's that disgusting." So then the show cuts back to her telling Gordon that she's never had a problem with that burger, never ever. And she walks away in the middle of Gordon's truth slap. And you can tell that he's exasperated as all get out. And he tells her it's because her husband never tells her anything. So he's following her through the kitchen and he wants to tell her about the salmon burger. It was like a fish cake on a dry bun. And she's like, "So what is it? Is it soggy or is it dry?" And he said it was dry, too dry. And she says to him, "But it's good like that. We have people tell us all the time that they love it." And Gordon is like, "You know what? There is no point in me telling you anything if you're just going to say, well, it's good like that." And she claps back with a whatever. But he kept going and he moved on to the ravioli and he said it's frozen. And Amy says, "Yes, they use frozen ravioli." And he is asking her if she can make them fresh. And she says that she can make them fresh, way better fresh. So he tells her, "If you're not going to make them fresh, then take them off the menu." And she fires back with, "Okay, well, why don't I just delete everything from my menu and then close the doors? What do you want me to sell?" And Gordon tells her, The store bought frozen crap ravioli, and she snaps back, "Those are not crap, they're delicious, and this is the first time I've ever had a complaint." And then she accused Gordon of not even trying it, and he told her, "You didn't get my feedback. I said they were disgusting." And Amy continues defending herself. "People love it. I've never had a problem with it." And Gordon mocks her. "People usually love it." She says, "Yes, yes. You know, real customers, not haters." And now she's grouping Gordon in with all the haters that have been criticizing her restaurant online. And she mocks Gordon again. "Oh, like, these are from the freezer. Like, oh my God." And there's just one point where Gordon was talking about her inability to take criticism. So he took her to task about it, and he asked her, "When was the last time you took criticism from a customer about one of your dishes?" And she said, "The other day I did." And Gordon was like, "What was it about?" And she said, "A customer complained that there was prosciutto in her Caesar salad." Now, Dreamers, I can't recall seeing Caesar salad with prosciutto on a menu. Just the usual stuff like chicken or shrimp, but I guess it's a thing. I don't know how common it is, but if I ordered a Caesar salad and it came out with prosciutto on it, I'd be surprised. But Amy said this customer didn't like it. She could have asked for it without the prosciutto because it's on the menu. And I personally don't think it was a common thing, and I think that maybe the customer didn't even notice. But anyway, it was kind of a BS example of a customer criticism because that isn't exactly a direct dig on Amy's skills as a chef. It's just an ingredient on top of a salad. And I think Gordon thought the same thing when she said that she was able to accept criticism, and he told her criticism is healthy. But unfortunately, you haven't been told the truth because your husband doesn't tell you the truth. And then Amy called Gordon crazy, and he told her, "You can pull the wool over your husband's eyes, but you can't do it to me. You're not even prepared to listen." And she said, "It's because you're not giving me any constructive criticism. You just keep talking, saying things that don't even make any sense." And he said, "You're in denial." And she said, "I'm not in denial. I'm not anything. I've never had an issue before." And he said, "Because your husband doesn't tell you. He's scared to." And she said, "He isn't scared of me. He isn't scared of you. He isn't scared of anybody. If there's a problem, he will immediately bring it back to me and let me know." And Gordon said, "Bullshit." And she continued, "And it's very rare that it happens." And Gordon said, "You knew I was coming today. If you were coming to my restaurant, I would make sure that every fucking plate you finished was right in front of me." And she said, "I was trying to get feedback and no one would give it to me." And Gordon said, "Why not? I gave your husband a number of comments at lunchtime." And she said, "I didn't know." And Gordon said, "You don't like knowing. You don't want to change." So Gordon, he went out into the dining room and told a room full of customers that the chef is trying to pull a fast one on them by serving them frozen raviolis that are made more than 500 miles away. Do any of them have a problem if they're taken off the menu? And they were like, "Yeah, just toss it." And he tells Sammy, "Do you want to tell Amy the ravioli are off the menu, or shall I? I have too much respect for your customers to keep bullshitting them like this." So Sammy goes back and he tells her. And he says, "Look, no more ravioli." And Amy just snaps at him and says, "Okay, no more ravioli, no more hamburgers, no more salmon burgers. Everyone can just have cake tonight." Which, by the way, Amy did not bake. And then Amy proceeds to say that everything is just complete bullshit. So Gordon pulls Sammy aside again and he's like, "She can't take criticism. Why is that?" And he tells Gordon, "Ask her. I have the same problem." Anyway, the dinner service is continuing on and it's really slow. Sammy is making mistakes. He's forgetting to put orders in correctly. And then we get to one of the critical parts of the episode where you really feel for the girls that are working there. So it's Katie. She's the food runner. She comes back to pick up an order and Amy tells her 4B, no, 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 5B. And Katie said, this is all she said, "Are you sure?" Wow. It was like Katie hit a trigger on a nuclear bomb. Amy jumped all over her and yelled, "You don't need to question me, Katie. You could just go home right now." Katie tried to apologize, but Amy just ran out of the kitchen and demanded that Sammy send Katie home immediately. "I don't need attitude like that from her." And Katie tried to explain that they had other similar orders, and Amy stormed back into the kitchen like, "Oh my God, am I sure? What a little shit." And Gordon is standing there watching all of this happen. And he tried talking to Amy about what happened, and she snapped at him. I'm not going to talk to you right now. I have to concentrate. And he's like, all right, concentrate. She's like, I will. There's no point in talking to you. And we'll come back to the incident with Katie a little bit later because it's not quite over yet. So Amy insults Gordon, and she tells him that there's no point in talking to him. In the meantime, customers are still waiting for a really long time for their food. This is the dinner rush. The wait is at least an hour or more, and the food that is coming out is getting complaints. So Gordon is in the back looking at all the food that's being returned to the kitchen, and he asks Amy, do you know why this was sent back? And Amy, she tells him, look, every single time a customer doesn't lick their plate clean, they don't have to come back here and tell me why. And then Amy goes and tells her sous chef to ignore everything that Gordon is saying. She's ignoring everything, just do the same. So Gordon tries talking to Sammy again. The food is being sent back, and instead of it going back to the chef, it's going to the bus person to be washed. And Sammy tells Gordon, let's just wait until later. And Gordon is like, he's fed up. And she has to know what's going on, what's going wrong with her dishes. And Sammy says that he will tell her, he will. And he tries to show Amy what's wrong with one of the dishes. And then she just tells him, that's all bullshit. And Gordon tells her, you don't even know about this because these girls are being instructed to throw it away without telling you. And Amy tells Gordon, there's no point in you speaking to me. I'm just going to work. So back out in the front, one of the tables left Miranda a $10 tip. Gordon notices and he tells Sammy, wow, that's nice. Do you think the girls deserve some tips tonight? And right away, Sammy was like, no, they get hourly. And Gordon says, do you think if I went and asked the customer that when they leave a tip that it goes to the owner and not the server, do you think they'd be astounded? I'm going to go and ask the table that left the $10 tip. So Gordon goes to the customer, sir, the tip that you left the young lady, the owner takes the tip. And the customer was like, that's horrible. And Sammy tries to cut Gordon off by telling him, no. And Gordon tells him, look, don't fuck with me. And then Sammy went off. I will fuck with you. Who the fuck do you think you are? And the customers are all watching this, and Amy can hear it in the kitchen, but she thinks her gangster husband is going to hurt Gordon or something. So Gordon finally tells Sammy, I'm getting sick and tired of your bullshit. And Sammy tells him, I'm gangster, not you. So stupid, right? And Gordon is trying to make Sammy admit to all of the customers that he is taking all of the tips from the servers because the servers deserve them. So Sammy says to Gordon, do you want to speak with me? And Gordon says, yeah, I want to speak with you. And Sammy says, do you want to fuck with me? I will fuck with you. And at that point, Amy says this whole thing is such a joke, and she shuts the kitchen down for the night. So then it cuts back to the issue that Amy had with Katie earlier and wanting Sammy to send her home. When Amy shuts the kitchen down, she tells Katie, Katie, you can go for sure. And Katie turned around and walked away. But then Amy was like, wait, don't walk away from me while I'm talking to you. Katie, listen to me when I'm talking to you. So Katie turned around briefly, and Amy keeps going, you don't walk away from me when I'm talking to you. You don't work here anymore, okay? And at this point, Katie just kind of broke down into tears. And it's really sad because this bitch Amy is just riding her and riding her for nothing and just taking her anger out on her. And so Amy starts yelling at her even more. Don't start crying. Why are you behaving like this? And then Sammy tries to stop it. He tries to comfort Katie momentarily, but she wants to get away from these people. And Amy keeps telling Katie, oh my God, I'm talking to you. And finally, Katie turns around and tells her, I'm not doing anything. Amy continues yelling, you've had an attitude with me all night long, Katie. So finally, Katie throws up her hands. And she's like, okay, I quit. And Amy's still yelling and says, good, quit. She comes into the kitchen and I set a table and she says, are you sure? Literally, those were the only three words that Katie said, are you sure? And if you remember, Amy misspoke the table that the food was going to. She said one table and then quickly corrected herself, and that's when Katie said that. But anyway, Amy's rant continued, who does she think she is? Is she my boss? She doesn't work here anymore. She's a poisonous little viper, and I don't allow people like her who have an attitude into my restaurant. What does she know? Who the hell is she? She is gone. That's who she is. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. So yeah, I hope Katie considered herself lucky to get out of there, but I know it doesn't feel good to be spoken like that by anybody, much less this maniacal bitch that doesn't even bake her own cakes. So Gordon is super crystal clear that Amy and Sammy are completely and totally dysfunctional and delusional. And he sits down with them and he tells them, okay, you just fired that young girl tonight. Why don't we try to get some sort of resolution here? And he begins by telling Sammy and Amy that his intentions are good. And right away, Amy starts shaking her head side to side, no, disagreeing that Gordon is well-intentioned. And he's like, look, you're shaking your head no. And she says, I'm listening. So he continues, it's clear you cannot take criticism. And Amy smirks and she rolls her eyes. And he asks her, why is that? Why can't you take criticism? And she replies, are you seriously asking me why I can't take criticism? And Sammy starts to intervene and he tries to keep her calm, to tell her to not start crying. And she's getting agitated. And an argument then erupts between the two of them. And finally, she goes to answer Gordon, what I do normally is good. I don't have people sending things back to me. And then Gordon cuts her off and tells her, you don't know because food comes back to you and nobody tells you. That's the whole issue. You have no idea. You have these amazing desserts, which she does not make, but in your freezer, you have these frozen store-bought raviolis that you're never going to convince me are good. And Amy cuts him off. And she says, the sauce is delicious and the ravioli, we think they are very good. And Gordon tells her, this is what we are struggling with here. You have convinced yourself that everything you're doing is right and it's not. So he tells them that he needs to come back the following day and he wants them to come open-minded. But Amy tells him, I don't want to make a promise that I know I can't keep, but I will do everything I can to try. And Gordon tells her, the only thing you're going to get from me is the truth. So at least Amy here has a tiny amount of self-awareness that when Gordon asked her to come back the next day open-minded, that she's not going to be able to. So Gordon comes back the next day and he is ready as he can be when it comes to dealing with these two, but they hadn't shown up yet. So Gordon went ahead and met with a couple of employees that reached out to him. They had a few things that they could share with him about their experiences there at Amy's bakery. It was mostly a repeat of what we heard, that Sammy was always in a terrible mood and was controlling over everything. And this was a young lady who they had hired that had graduated from culinary school, yet the only thing that she was allowed to do was pour water. The other guy said he worked there for a while as a busser. And the surprising thing that he shared with Gordon is that Sammy made him wash his car one time. And Gordon, he just buried his face in his hands. And they told him that when customers complain about the food, the customers are the ones that are told that they are wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know how to eat food properly. They don't know anything about food, that they're served the best food in the land. At Amy's Bakery and Bistro, the customer is always wrong. The bottom line is they don't know how to manage a restaurant and they think the entire world is out to get them. And Gordon asked them to wish him good luck before he went back over to the restaurant to meet up with Sammy and Amy because he was going to need it. So when Gordon went back and he walked in, he could tell right away that Amy was pissed off. She has permanent bitch face. Sammy tries to explain that they've never been through anything like this before. And Gordon was like, well, tell me about it. And Amy tells Gordon they want to clarify a few things before they get started. So right away, she lays into him. What I have a problem with were the comments that you were saying to me last night when I was trying to focus on the food. And Gordon says, okay, let's talk about one thing at a time. Let's be open and honest. And that for him was about uncovering the truth. And when I'm told that the raviolis are made fresh, and immediately Amy cut Gordon off and she tells him that she didn't tell him that. And he's like, can I finish? And she rolled her eyes back in her head so hard, she almost like fell over in her chair. It was embarrassing that she could act like that in front of somebody who was trying to help her. But he told her, "Your husband told me the raviolis were fresh, so I ordered them. The raviolis were disgusting and they were not fresh." And Amy was still rolling her eyes and shaking her head no. And he just doesn't like it when customers are lied to. And he tells Amy, "You may want to sit here and argue." And she delivered like the dirtiest look I'd ever seen anyone ever give. And then he continued, "But you are not prepared to sit here and understand that I am here to show you what's right, but you can't take it." And then she argues again, "I can. I'm ready for that. I have no problem with the food." And he said, "I told you about the burger and you refused to listen." And she starts screaming, "I did not. I asked you what was wrong with it." And he continued talking over her and she is yelling, "You come up with excuse after excuse after excuse when I try to tell you what was wrong." And this is when the crazy eyes really started going next level. And she's yelling at him and she's got the two burgers confused. "You said it was dry. You said it was wet. Which is it? You're confused." And he tells her, "No, you're confused. I'm not confused when we're talking about food." And then Gordon starts to say, "And the way you screamed at that young girl last night." And Amy cuts him off again and she yells, "Would you let anybody come into your restaurant and into your kitchen and speak to you the way that that kid spoke to me last night?" And he was like, "Yeah, I would." And then she ranted on, "Do you think we're going to let someone hold a gun to our head and we're going to give them our ass and let them take whatever they want from us?" And Gordon was trying to speak over her and he said all she asked was, "Are you sure?" And Amy said she did it with an attitude and compared it to holding a gun to her head. Right. And she did it with an attitude, like a serious attitude, like, "Are you sure?" And then Amy rolled her eyes back and rolled her neck, giving all kinds of additional body language, which Katie didn't do anything of the sort. And all of this was on camera. And Gordon called Amy out and she said she didn't do that. "Now you're just over exaggerating. But you blamed her. You blamed the customers. They're waiting for their food because of mistakes your husband is making." And so Sammy, he's like, okay, let's forget this today. And he tells Gordon, "If we continue with the show, we want to start from scratch." And Gordon tells him, "Forget the show. This isn't a show for me. This is a restaurant in crisis with a delusional owner that can't take criticism." And it cuts over to Amy again with her eye rolling and her head shaking some more. And he told them about meeting the two former employees before he came over there. And he was told some awful things. And Amy was like what? "The way you treat the staff." And this is where Amy's eyes get the craziest that I have seen them in this entire episode. And Gordon tells her they have to clean cars in the middle of their shift because the boss wants his car cleaned. And witnessing a very large number of staff being fired in a very short period of time. And Amy's like, "Really? 50 staff? You're saying that I've fired 50 staff since they were here? You're saying that? Can you prove that to me?" And Gordon says, "Look at your eyes. Why do I have to prove it to you?" And she tells him, "Because you're lying." And Gordon says, "Come on. Have you not had a turnover of more than 50 people?" And Sammy, her husband is such an idiot. He tells Gordon, "It's more like 100, even more than 100. Not only 50, she was wrong." It's like, okay, dude. Amy just looked down so humiliated. And Gordon was like, "So it's worse than what he was told?" And Sammy was like, "Yes, it's worse." And Gordon said, "Then can you tell your wife that?" And she was like, "I need a drink of water." And Gordon called her out. There you go. Just running off again. And she yelled, "I need a drink of water. Jesus Christ, are you going to attack me now for drinking some fucking water? Oh my God, I don't even know why we came back here. I'm going home. This is such bullshit. Nobody is even listening to me. Then you're going to listen to these people. Unbelievable. I've had enough. I'm not here to be abused in my own restaurant." Then she sat back down with her water and she said, "All that has happened is we have been attacked." And Gordon asked, "Attacked?" And she slammed her hands down and said, "Attacked." And Gordon asked, "Why are you behaving like this?" And Amy yelled, "Because I'm insulted. You verbally insulted me yesterday and I held my tongue out of class." And Gordon said, "I told you the truth." And Amy fired back, "I didn't tell you the truth. I don't say nasty things to you." And Gordon was like, "Really?" And she said, "Really, I didn't." And he said, "When I told you about the burger, you refused to listen. And she said, you don't understand. You are judging me on you coming in here and disrupting the entire service. And Gordon was like, disrupting? And Crazy Eyes said, you disrupted us. How can I focus when you're standing there talking to us? And Gordon was like, disrupted? Disrupted? What about my lunch? Who disrupted you then? And Amy's answer was, everybody. What are you talking about? And Gordon looked at her and said, blaming everybody again. And she continued, I do my best so our business doesn't close because we can't find qualified people. You get Miranda and little Katie and you bring them here and let me see how they work. Will you do that? And Gordon goes, you know what? They won't come back. They're scared of you and they're embarrassed. And unfortunately, you've convinced yourself in Amy's little world that everything you cook, touch, and send is perfect. And she argued, I do not. And then she wanted to show Gordon hundreds of reviews, she said, good reviews from real customers. And she is really taking a walk off the map now. She's nearly hysterical. Customers have supported them for years. And Gordon is like, look at you. Look at the way that you are. And he can see that Amy is way out into outer space. And he says to her, I'm telling you what the problems are. And she argues back, you're not telling me the problems. You're saying that I'm delusional. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And finally, Gordon is just like, fuck me. And he turns to Sammy and he says, you told me you were going to be honest about the problems that you've had. You cannot talk to her, your wife, and the issue that she cannot take criticism. And Amy jumps back in. That's fine. I have no problem taking that. And Gordon turns to her and says, that's fine. Wow. And she just smirked at him. And he tells her, I think you're too far gone. And Amy says, okay, then let's end this. You think I'm too far gone? There's no hope. And then she says, yalla, yalla, which means in Arabic, let's go, let's go. It's Christmas. Let's go home. Gordon was like, wow. And he finally said, I can't help people who can't help themselves. They can't ever take 1 ounce of criticism. If you're not willing to change, I'm not going to butt heads, argue, scream, whatever you want to say, but this is not normal. It's not normal for a restaurant to go through that many staff. It is not normal for a kitchen that small to have 65 items on the menu. And it is not normal for the level of animosity you have built inside this restaurant and outside. You have the right to run this business the way you want to, and I have the right to do the right thing. And the right thing for me is to get out of here. Good luck. And he left. And apparently, for the first time ever in all of his seasons of Kitchen Nightmares, this was the first time he walked out on a restaurant. And Amy said, yeah, this is what I wanted. I don't want to participate in this bullshit. Give me a break. And she demanded that the crew take her mic off. And she turned to the camera with her crazy eyes. We don't need his help. Maybe he knows that. And now he's gone. He walked away. He'll go on with his life. And Sammy and I will go on with our life. So Sammy and Amy did carry on for about 2 more years. I believe they finally closed their doors in 2015. But in the wake of the show being aired in May of 2013, they blew up on the internet. It was all over the news. Amy and Sammy even went on Dr. Phil, where he tried to help them with dealing with critics. He told them if they chose to behave a certain way, then they're going to choose to be faced with the consequences of that. If they wanted to react to online critics, then they have to choose the consequences of that too. And he tried to tell them to ignore the bullies by unplugging, but Amy, it was like over her head. They thought Dr. Phil meant to take all of their phones off the hook at the restaurant because they were getting bombarded with so many prank calls and rude calls. And Dr. Phil meant for them to just stop looking at all of the stuff online, to just stay off the internet. But they were on social media fighting and arguing and name calling. They were bullying and trolling just as much as everybody else. They were the bullies towards their employees and to their customers. I don't know how long all of this uproar online lasted. I did find Amy on social media still. Their Facebook page is still up, but it seems like the last post came around the 2020 election. I checked out Amy's Instagram and her most recent post was from June. She mostly posts pictures of cakes and things like that, you know, stuff she probably didn't bake. She has a shop on Amazon, and she's considered to be what's called an Amazon influencer now. And her profile says Amy Buzzaglo is a celebrated American culinary and pastry chef, caterer, and former restaurateur, known for her original pastry creations, especially desserts, dessert buffets, and her one-of-a-kind cakes. She is also a published author, food stylist, and photographer. And there is still Gordon's Update episode that's out there, which you can find on YouTube also. It's just a lot of the same nonsense coming from these two. So then some rumors and news articles started circulating sometime in 2018 that Sammy was possibly facing deportation and that the process had actually been going on for at least a couple of years by the time they showed up on Gordon's show. Information also came out that Sammy had already been banned from traveling to France and Germany because of his involvement with drug trafficking and distribution, making terrorist threats and extortion. So just basically being himself. And I do believe that he was ultimately kicked out of the country and that both he and Amy are now living in his home country of Israel. But I haven't been able to verify that. I did just read it on a couple of places that that's where they're living. And that, my dreamers, is when all else fails, buy a bakery. But if you do, make sure that you bake the cakes that you call yours yourself. Thank you so much for listening. That was a lot of fun. Until next time, sweet dreams.